people meet their friends here waiting. Oh, you know, you can hear conversations. And I remember a friend of mine was driving by years ago, and he said to me, "You'd think the Rolling Stones, they were getting into a Rolling Stones concert, waiting. It was just spilling into the street. It was a warm day." But I mean, it's like, we're very thankful, you know, that we're still getting those crowds.
That was Brian Mitchell, co-owner of Mitchell's Ice Cream. I'm Jeff, and this is Storied San Francisco, a podcast all about the artists, activists, and small businesses that make this city so unique among cities. Welcome to part two of our episode on Mitchell's. If you missed part one, please go back and listen to that. Brian is joined on this podcast by his sister and fellow Mitchell's co-owner, Linda Mitchell, and Marlon Payumo, the company's operations manager. I just want to mention the outpouring of love and fond memories that folks ended up expressing on the Instagram post for part one. It was an amazing validation for why I'm even doing this episode. So thanks to all who liked and commented. Here's Linda Mitchell.
Were you asking about the how we got the Asian flavors?
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming that didn't start in 1953.
No, that started about 1965.
Okay.
So a customer of ours, his name was Emerson Clark, he introduced himself to our father, and he brought in the owner of Gina Corporation, whom we still buy from today.
Gina
Corporation in the Philippines.
Okay.
And they process and package the fruits that we make today.
Okay.
So he introduced them and talked about mango ice cream. My dad said, "Well, what's a mango?" So he got a little education there.
Right.
And Mr. Kausik was the owner at the time. His son runs it now. He said, "Well, why don't you, I'll ship you some mango puree and see how you like it." So my dad said, "Okay." He was open to it, thankfully.
Right.
And so Mr. Clark arranged it. He was our broker from 1965 until probably late 80s, perhaps, early 90s.
No, in the 90s, because I knew him.
Mid-90s?
Yeah.
Yeah, he retired.
Like a good 30 years or
so. Yeah. He was a big grand poobah at the Masonic Lodge on 19th Avenue in Sloat.
He kind of looked like Sherlock Holmes.
Oh.
Yeah, very tall, very distinguished with the hat. Feather in the side, always well dressed and very dapper and very distinguished.
I know. He was a mango broker or exotic fruit.
He
imported for Gerber Foods, didn't he?
Supposedly.
Okay. Y'all weren't his only gig.
No.
And he had other interests, I'm sure, that we were not aware of. But so my dad.
Your dad said yes.
Yes.
I'm going to make mango ice cream.
Absolutely. Brought it in and introduced it to the area here. And then one by one, he tried the ubi, which is the taro.
Which is a big trend now.
Oh, my God. Huge. Mm-hmm. And macapuno, the sweet coconut. And then buko, lanca, which is jackfruit, avocado. And there was, and there was a couple of others that he had in the 70s. Atis and Caimito that he had for a number of years. But
don't forget Maisi Queso.
Oh, yes. Corn and cheese.
Oh.
We had that.
Lovely.
Yes.
More Mexican or where does that come from?
Influenced by Mexican, Spanish.
But they have that flavor in the Philippines.
It was cheddar cheese.
Have, but it's influenced
cheddar
by
cheese.
But the corn is such a cute
shredded. Yeah.
Marlon, what did you think when you show up to your new city, your new country, and you're like, there's this ice cream store called Mitchell's, and they have all these flavors.
You know,
they familiar to you?
No.
The flavors?
Oh, no, the flavors,
yeah. That's what I mean. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
What's happening here?
What's so amazing about it, the beauty of this, I think this place is such an amazing place for me to be into, because it's influenced, like the mango, Philippine mango. Who would have thought? I had no idea Mitchell's all about.
Right.
Just the mango that I had, acquaintance brought it over. And who would have thought that over the years, me as a Filipino, a newbie from San Francisco, would stay and be blessed and lucky enough to be here and represent Mitchell's with Filipino flavors.
Amazing.
Amazing.
It's not just one or two either. I mean, no. You just rattled off a bunch. It's like, yeah. I looked at the menu, your menu out front. Mm-hmm. I'm like, there's a lot of cool stuff.
A lot. And that's what's more amazing about it is it just complements the quality of product that they have to mix in with the Filipino flavors and all. And that's what come out with such an amazing flavors.
And we couldn't have a better representative than Marlon. Right. And his wife, Wanda, who's the other manager.
Right.
Yes. They're very proud of the institution, the product. And I see you always beaming when you talk to customers. Very proud.
Yes. I am super proud.
But that's genuine, too.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes. Absolutely. Coming from from a country, third world country, I barely spoke English when I started here, as a matter of fact. Know nothing about business or work, and was given the opportunity to make a living, and this is what I have right now. Turned out to be a family.
So great.
Yes, and I'm proud to say that.
Yeah.
And it's for real. That's what happened over the years.
Yeah.
We're not blood related, but we're all connected in one way because of this company, and we're so blessed and thankful.
That can be deeper than blood, I think, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
Those relationships.
Yes.
Interesting. I want to know, because in 1965, like, how did some of those new flavors land with the public? Was it right away?
I'm not sure, but I think slowly.
Dad told me it took over vanilla as mango took over vanilla as the most popular flavor within a short time.
Even in 65? Mm-hmm. Okay.
I love it because I...
Well, I think it makes sense because why would he have pursued bringing in all the other fruits and experiment?
Yeah.
And the city was changing at that time.
Yeah, 1970, Filipinos start immigrating to the U.S. Mm-hmm. And then we have a competitive company called Magnolia, which that's the ice cream company in the Philippines.
Okay.
And then a company started up here in Pittsburgh, California, in I think 1970, around there.
Okay.
They took the name
of Magnolia.
Yes.
Okay.
Magnolia didn't know that
until
years later, but then it was too late to do anything about it. Statute of limitations, I suppose. So they started selling to the grocery stores, even before we really did.
Selling exclusively Philippine flavors?
Yeah, like quarts and half gallons.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're the brand in the Philippines.
Right.
And they took the logo and all that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so they were in the stores.
I thought it was coincidence.
No, not retail.
More devious than that.
No retail, but just in the grocery stores.
And
then
they'd
open up mom and pop grocery stores. And then we started in the... kind of the 74, he started wholesaling to those mom and pops. And a lot of the mom and pops are gone these days. They're all big Safeway size.
Right.
So, yeah. But, you know, and then he tried the ube, and then the word got around in the Filipino community and the Hispanic that they've got, you know, our native fruits, and then the Hispanic love fruit flavors, you know, fresa.
You're talking about here in the Bay Area.
Yes, here in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
So mango was big with them, is big with them also.
Yes.
Yeah.
And coconut.
I'm just going to say I'm biased, but like also mango just kind of speaks for itself. I freaking love anything mango.
Yeah, me too. But I know people that are not crazy about it.
They don't. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. It's not my cup of tea.
That's our sister's favorite flavor.
It's kind of what's unique about Mitchell's though is that you have... they're more traditional peppermint. I saw Oreo on there peanut butter and stuff like that.
Yes. Yes.
So it's like
it's our niche and it still is.
Yeah.
Even though everybody else is making it or a lot of other companies are, but people still come here for the authentic.
Right.
And you guys have been doing, we talked about ube a long time. And
that was probably 66, maybe 1966.
But here in the last 5 years or so, I've been seeing it.
Oh, it's exploded. Nationwide.
Yeah.
Nationwide.
Yeah.
Everything's ube.
Yeah, Trader Joe's makes ube ice cream.
Correct. And y'all are, I mean, you don't have to like be snarky about it, but you're like, yeah, we've been doing that. We've been doing that. Mm-hmm. We have it.
And I do believe since we were the first to import mango from Gina in 65, I believe we were the first to make these fruits in the country.
Right.
They weren't selling anybody else. To make
those into ice cream.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. I believe that.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Not just the Bay Area.
Right. Well, I'm going to just go along with that. Who knows if it's actually true, well, but it sounds good to me.
Yeah.
I know the first time I came across Mitchell's would probably be like early 2000s. And I saw the line and I was like, it's ice cream. I think it was like a warm day. I was like, oh, I could go for some ice cream. And then when I got to the menu, I was like, what's happening here? This is super cool. So anyway, I think it does make you all stand out.
Still.
As far as, and there aren't a whole lot of
Brian
ice cream
stores.
Brian
came out with a lot of very interesting flavors. He put together some flavors that up to now, it really stand out. Like the grasshopper pie.
I saw that one.
I think the peanut butter indulgence.
Yes.
All those, I think, I remember Brian came out with those flavors. And he's still trying to develop more flavors.
I do two a year, maybe. Because you can't drop the old standbys.
Right.
People get upset.
Do you still do that? Sort of test kitchen kind of thing?
Not much anymore, no.
Yeah. Well, you've made a name for yourself.
Yeah.
If I may.
Yeah, I think the last one I did was Sticky Monkey. I think that was the last one I did.
I think it was
Is there a banana aspect of it?
Banana and peanut butter swirls and then chocolate flakes.
But so you also came up... Grasshopper pie was Edgar, one of our employees, Edwin, and you worked on that
one. He had a...
But Brian's worked on all the others.
The genesis of it, and then I just developed it. Mm-hmm, so let's put this in. Let's put some fudge. And he came up with the name.
And then Brian came up with Lucuma, and I thought... Who's going to buy that?
Yeah.
I never dreamed there were so many Peruvians in the Bay Area. And not only Peruvians, but other people from other countries in South America. Mm-hmm. That's been a really popular flavor.
Okay.
Yes.
When did, for the business, when did getting into stores, was that kind of right off the bat?
That was, I think, mid-70s, 74.
Oh, so about 20 or so years into the business.
Yeah, probably, yeah. I would say so, yeah. About 20 years.
People approached our father and our uncle.
It was so popular. Can we sell you in our store?
Right.
And then at some point later in the later 70s, then he got into restaurants.
Oh, yeah,
and
that's
then,
a big part.
And then the Thai people, we sell to over 100 Thai restaurants.
Wow.
Big customer base there.
Yeah.
If you ever had fried banana with a coconut, it's probably our coconuts.
Yeah, most likely.
Yes. And then that happened in the 2000s when Thai food became very popular.
Right.
And then there's multiple, almost as many as Chinese now.
Yeah. Can I ask about your, I guess, as a business, your relationship with or just sort of how you consider Mitchell's in contrast to, I'm thinking of two things. Locally, is there crossover with y'all and It's like, are y'all competitors or
It's It?
No, because they're specific to the sandwich.
It's ice cream and the sandwich. Yeah, and it's another long time Bay Area business. Yeah. I mean,
that people feel very strongly about,
right?
Yeah,
they're myself like, included,
and they sell more in like little. Do they sell in the big stores? I guess they do.
They do internationally.
Yeah.
Internationally.
I think their plant's in Burlingame, or it was.
It is.
It's right off 101.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So no.
So there's not really it's not a direct competition.
No.
Did y'all ever think about doing ice cream sandwiches?
We do.
Oh, you do them?
Mm-hmm.
Well, so I guess you thought about it.
It's not a big selling item for us.
Right.
We do have them.
It's a novelties.
Yeah, we bake the cookies. I forget which company we buy from now.
Pacific Cookie Company in Santa Cruz.
Still.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Used to be Otis Spunkmeyer.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. I know that one.
Otis, yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay, and then the other one I want to know, because I do consider this a trend, and it went national is Ben and Jerry's.
Oh, Ben and Jerry's, yes. Yeah. Well, they have a store in the Haight.
Yes.
And at the Wharf.
Haight and Ashbury.
Yes. And at the Wharf. And at the Wharf. They have a place there, correct, too. And they're in the stores everywhere. So, yeah.
Fair to say they're a direct competitor.
Yeah, yeah, I would say, yes.
But I do want to say that, you know, the fact that y'all are local and you've been here for 70 whatever years, like that's... 70,
yeah. 71 this June.
That's huge, and I do think
people appreciate that.
Right, I think there's a big, there's a widespread sentiment in San Francisco that we, you know, like we don't love the chain stores. We right. love the mom and pop. We love the homespun and the stories that come with those, and like the family stories, for example.
Yes,
I think it's powerful as hell.
Absolutely, and people meet their friends here waiting. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, you can hear conversations and...
Yeah.
I remember a friend of mine was driving by years ago and he said to me, you'd think the Rolling Stones... They were getting into a Rolling Stones concert waiting. It was just spilling into the street. It was a warm right. day.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's like, we're very thankful, you know, that we're still getting those crowds.
Yeah. All right. Well, any final thoughts that y'all want to get on while we're here?
Well, I'll take this opportunity to, you know, express exactly how me and my family felt towards the Mitchells. Mm-hmm. Because if I were given a chance to speak up to a crowd, I would burst in tears.
Oh.
Just because I felt it. It's right here inside of me.
Yeah.
What this company and what this family has brought into my life, where I am at now. Mm-hmm. I'm so thankful and blessed. And this is from a clear heart, mm-hmm. saying, you know, we are so blessed. I met my wife over here, you know, and we've been married for 32 years.
Wow, congratulations.
And she's been with the company for 32 years as well.
Yeah.
So it's a husband and wife helping the Mitchells. And I want everybody to know that American dream do happens. Mm-hmm. It happens. Mm-hmm. For those who work hard, persevered, and show loyalty.
Yeah.
And I want the whole world to know that. It happens to good people.
That's beautiful.
And I am very fortunate to be part of this company.
Hell yeah.
I just want to share that.
Well, and we're so lucky to have both of them. I mean, because they both started. Wanda couldn't even... I wasn't here when Wanda was hired. I don't think I was here.
Yeah, you started in 91. You were here. Because she's been here 32 years. You started in 91.
She took a year off for...
she did leave.
Maternity leave.
Okay.
But
so then she did leave for a while.
But when Brian interviewed her, I wasn't here yet. She was here actually before me. She was working part-time. And she couldn't even count American money.
Right.
She had no idea how to count American money. She could speak English.
Right.
But she's gone from that, and Marlon went from 19 years old to, all you know, being a supervisor and... moving all the way up to managing the store.
Yeah, amazing. They're pretty
and,
much running
and
it.
And we are amazing. Very particular about how things run. We would not hand it over. We're kind of semi-retired now. Mm. We would not hand it over to just anybody. We wouldn't have. We'd still be working 5 days
yes.
a week.
Yes, so we're in the process of passing the baton.
Okay.
So, yes.
So stay tuned. Maybe I'll have to come back in about 5 or 10 years if I'm still doing the podcast.
Yes, then. Probably sooner.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, the way I actually want to end, and we'll go around the room, I think the same direction. Every season on this podcast, and we're in our sixth season now, we have a theme. And this season that we're in right now, the theme is We're All In It. I think we've touched on aspects of that, but I do want to know... What does that mean to you, We're All In It, specifically in San Francisco?
Well, I'd say we're all in it to try and help improve the city and take care of some of the major problems we're having. It's a small thing, but I do volunteer with Refuse Refuse mm-hmm. to pick up trash in some of the neighborhoods. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that.
And I think anything we can do to help turn our dear, beautiful city around, we should try to do. Okay. We're having problems, but I know we'll make a comeback. We always have.
Yeah, exactly. Marlon, what does that mean to you? We're all in it.
Well, we're all in it together in it. I'd say Mitchell Company will keep making the same good quality of ice cream, so that makes sure people that come in, whether they're sad, they're happy, they wanted to celebrate, and make sure that the same quality that they expect from Mitchell's will be the same. And we are in it because we have that commitment. We're making that commitment.
Yeah, right on.
We want them to leave here with a smile. So we always tell our employees that customer service is every bit as important as what we're selling here. If we didn't have customer service, they can go a mile away and get really good ice cream.
Or just get it at a store.
Or get it at a store.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's different, the experience of being here.
Yes.
Yeah.
And even the ice cream in grocery stores has improved over the years.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Brian, what does that mean to you?
I think we're a touchstone place here. And sometimes we don't realize how important we play a role in the city. We're iconic. We are a legacy business, and we're so thankful for that. And in the community, we, a lot of schools and organizations, we support with the raffles and whatever else. So, and they come to expect it, and we're there for them. And my dad was very supportive of St. Paul's, you know, funding them over the years and all that. And so it feels really good to know that people can count on us, not just for the good ice cream, but to of the support out there.
Like being part of the community and contributing.
Absolutely.
In ways besides, here's a scoop of ice cream.
Absolutely, right. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And people come to depend on us for that. And we're happy to do that and feel like we're contributing something rather than just making money. You know, so, and like Linda said, whatever way we can contribute to make the city better, it's challenging, as we all know. And, you know, a scoop of ice cream, if that can do it, you know, why not? Bring a little sweetness.
That was Brian Mitchell, along with Linda Mitchell and Marlon Paiumo. On the next episode of Storied San Francisco, meet artist and designer Nate Tan of Nate One Design and New School Clothing and Accessories. Episode 14 drops next Tuesday, wherever you get podcasts. Also, check back this Friday for a bonus episode with SF Films Executive Director Anne Lai. Music for Storied San Francisco was produced, performed, and curated by Otis McDonald. Aaron Lim of Bitch Talk Podcast is our contributing producer. And the show is produced and hosted by me, Jeff Hunt. Now in our sixth season, we have more than 200 episodes available on our website, storiedsf.com, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you're able to, please rate and review the show. And drop us a line at storiedsf@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Keep rejecting those silly doom loop narratives about our city. Stay wacky, weird, healthy, and creative. And we'll see you next time on Storied San Francisco. We acknowledge and respect the first humans of the unceded land we call San Francisco, the Ramaytush Ohlone. We condemn the genocide of these and other tribes across the Western Hemisphere. We honor their legacy and history, and we support rematriation and sovereignty efforts.
This podcast is a proud member of the BFF.fm podcast network. Learn more at podcasts.bff.fm.
BFF.fm, best frequencies forever.